Welcome, virtual entrepreneurs, millennials on the go, and adventure seekers with big dreams. You've found the right place. My name is Alexis Teichmiller, a millennial, lifestyle blogger, and digital creative. The Laptop Lifestyle is designed to inspire, educate, and challenge you to live the life you want every day. Together, let's unlock how to live the laptop lifestyle to the fullest. Ashley Real is the superwoman behind Love Everywhere. This company started based upon one question 7 years ago. What if one tiny act of kindness could change a life? So Ashley started to share love with strangers through hidden notes of encouragement, leaving these notes behind everywhere she went. In 2014, she launched a website, and with the help of a team of 25 ambassadors located across the U.S. and internationally around the globe, over 8,000 notes have now been distributed worldwide. This April, due to the outpouring of support for the project Love Everywhere, launched a shop of handcrafted inspirational items, and will release a new item each month for the next year. Companies like this are changing the world, and I am honored to bring a leap taker like Ashley on this show. Hey, Ashley, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing so good.
Wonderful. I am so excited to have you on the show today. And I know I gave a little bit of an intro, but I would love for you to tell me your story.
Oh, my. I think it's going to take more than an hour, but
that's okay. You can just give me the highlights if you
want.
Sure,
yeah. So I was born on a cold April night. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, me too.
April, all right.
Yeah.
I'm a believer. So I was at this like prayer meeting thing, and some people were just saying that like I was gifted in encouraging people, and that I thought I was just having conversations with people, but it turns out that they were like walking away feeling really fulfilled and encouraged. So I think I just kind of heard that for the first time, like in 2008. And I was like, how is that even being gifted? Like, what is that? Like, I didn't understand that that could be like something special about someone until I noticed somebody doing it for me. And then I was like, whoa, this feels really incredible. And if I'm doing that for other people, that's pretty cool. So I want to like do something more with it. And I was in like a small group Bible study with some girls, and we just kind of decided we were going to like make up these pre-made cards that we got done on like Vistaprint or something. And they were so bad, but they were so fun and so like innocent. So it was kind of cool. But we just like put them on people's cars and in library books and left them at coffee shops in Target, like the beauty section, like just everywhere.
And what would they say?
They were like pre-made sayings. One of the like go-to ones that I still use today is, you are on purpose. That was one. And then there was just like, you are loved, and kind of like blanket encouragement statements that weren't like deep thought-provoking quotes or anything, but it was just like, we're going to put this out there and like let people know that somebody thought of them enough to like leave something for them to find. And from there, it just kind of transitioned, and I had a baby, and then we moved to Nashville from my hometown in Ohio.
You're a Midwesterner, me too.
Yeah, yeah. O-H-I-O, go back. So I think like moving and having a baby, like everything kind of got put on hold, and I just kept like leaving the pre-made cards when I could, but I was in such a transition moving from Columbus to Nashville, so it felt like I needed to like take a beat. And then all of my friends were getting married and having babies as well, so like no one was really able to keep up with it. So it was like on hiatus for 2 years. And then my husband was talking to me one night and just kind of encouraged me to like start doing that again, just because he felt like it was something that would make me feel more like I had purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, I know being a mom, like you have so much purpose in like raising children and stuff, but you kind of lose yourself in that too. And I just kind of was feeling like a mom blob. Like
a mom blob?
Yeah. So I started doing it again, and we got way more intentional with it, launched a website and Instagram, and then I found out I was pregnant with my second kid. And So things took a little bit of a slow beat for a minute, but I knew that I wanted to like keep doing it and pursuing it in like a social experiment kind of a way, because the idea of people finding the cards and like having a story that went along with it was really interesting to me. And I wanted to start collecting those stories and kind of just compiling them in like blog format, or I guess more so Instagram now, but essentially that's like how it started. And I don't know how, like, it's not like we're have like a huge following or anything, but it's, to me, it's like I don't know that amount of people, so it's just mind-blowing to me that like I had this small idea and here
it's,
we are.
It's impacted so many people though. It
it's
really
just
has.
Crazy, like, and to think that it's not even about the following, even it's more just like we have put out, I'm looking at card 8072 right now sitting on my desk. Like, that's how many cards I've written up, like, well, not me personally, but like I hand number them all. So like I've hand numbered over 8,000 cards, and that's just insane. Like, even if somebody found it and put it in the trash right away, hopefully they at least read it really quick and they were like, oh, that's a sweet quote or whatever. Like,
yeah, but it's more about creating a world centered around love and caring for other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's what you're doing, is you're putting out that love and you're putting out those good vibes. And basically, you're the rock that's making the ripple. You know, the card is the rock, and then the ripple effect that follows that card that might brighten someone's day or change the way they think about themselves and even change the way that they treat the people around them. You know, you never know the impact of something as small as a card that says you have purpose. You know?
Oh yeah, totally, totally. And I feel like it's been just really cool, like, because we didn't always sell stuff. Like, right now we have like a little general store that we use to sell some items, and that
I love the t-shirt that says kindness is key.
Oh, thank you.
I love that one. I love it.
I love it too. It's like my favorite thing, and I'm like, I can't believe I made this, but it's so fun. So people were asking to get involved, and that was like, to me, like, oh yeah, sure, I'll send you cards, but like 5,000 cards in and I'm looking at my bank account like, oh, I've given away like a lot of money essentially, because like I'm just doing this out of my own pocket. So yeah, we started selling stuff to like promote the actual cards so that the cards can still be, they're free in a sense. Like, I prefer to package them free with an item so that you're getting something like substantial and not just a piece of paper that I put a number on. But some people just want to buy cards, and so they've been doing that too, and that's really cool. Like, I wasn't going to sell just cards alone, but people were asking just for cards. Can I buy just cards? So they're also online for sale now, which is amazing, because anybody can do it. So
yeah, and that's a hard transition, turning something from a passion project into something that can make money, and kind of that line that you feel it's okay to make money from something you're passionate about. And sometimes I think when we are so focused on making a difference around with the world around us, that we sometimes feel guilty, or it's not necessarily first nature to try to monetize our creativity or try to monetize our craft. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I think I do agree with that. It's a really good point. I think that if for me, like, coming from a place of like my faith and making it more of a ministry, that's where my struggle was at first, because it was like, well, it's a ministry, like I don't feel necessarily like, could you make money off of that? Or it just got really murky for a bit. But I really spent a lot of time thinking about it and talking with a lot of people who have gone before me and done much bigger and better things than even what I'm doing. But all of their advice was, you know, like, this is a good thing, and like, you're supporting what you're doing, you're not like hurting your own finances to do it anymore. And like, right now it's so fresh, I'm not really making money, but it's supporting itself, and that's like a beautiful thing, because I don't have to worry about, I really want to put some cards out, but like, oh, our paycheck is not as big as I thought it was going to be this week, so I can't do it. Like, now that's not a question. Like, I can always encourage people, and it's become my job, and it's become like my heart's passion to encourage other people. And so I'm always looking for ways now to do that, whether it's something that I'm doing, like writing cards, or if it's just doing something nice for someone else, like I feel fully free to do that.
Absolutely. And I think that taking the step in not necessarily monetizing it, but treating it more like a business and setting aside time and money to turn around and make money from something is a difficult, sometimes murky waters, especially whenever it's your ministry. And I'm a believer too. And I could imagine that sometimes whenever you are doing something out of a faith-driven purpose versus career-driven purpose, if that makes sense, there's sometimes two different things there. Mm-hmm. And when those things come together at times, it can be difficult. But a question I wanted to ask you was, what has been your biggest challenge creatively with Love Everywhere?
Well, I think it's like, it was a huge challenge when it was just me, like trying to come up and generate content for like Instagram or a website or whatever, because it was just one person like posting pictures in my house before I would take it to the coffee shop or whatever. So like I would run out of knickknacks to set up my little like
styling,
neatly organized. Yeah. Like it's just like, I don't know. Doing it alone, I think, was the biggest challenge when I first started. But like people step in so quickly and like want to do this because it's such a nice, good thing to do, you know? So slowly we add ambassadors and they're fantastic. They're the reason that things look so beautiful online, because they all have this like amazing handwriting and this fantastic eye for taking pictures. And they come up with these amazing quotes, or they find them somewhere, or they read a book, or they like come across it online, or I don't know how they find all of them, but a lot of times it's like I'm being encouraged by these people who are writing the cards. Like they don't know it, but like they're just encouraging me constantly, because like I, like there's no way that I would be able to come up with all of that. And also like there's such good like heartfelt words. So,
and that's the value of building a strong community and team around you too. So tell me a little bit about what the ambassador program is, and just tell me how you developed that and why you took the steps to create it.
Yeah. About 6 months in, I decided that I needed to like have a team, and we hold like, I think it's twice a year now, we hold ambassador applications where anyone can fill out online like a little questionnaire, and then the team of existing ambassadors gets to read through their applications and they kind of help select the additions that we put in. And I'm like only really supposed to have probably 20 ambassadors at a time, but I can't ever pick, like it's such a hard thing to pick, like, oh, I'm gonna pick you and not you. But everybody's answers are always like bringing me to tears, and they're just like, everybody's hearts are so beautiful, so I always pick more than I'm supposed to, and that's okay, because it's just more love to go around. But it's just like really hard. So it's great to have the ambassadors that are like already on the team to help like select the newbies. And then people that are like, hey, I'm ready to have a break, they take their break and then their spot opens up and we fill it with someone new.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that it was kind of had a churn to it.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a good chunk of really stellar girls that have been with us since 2014, and that's phenomenal. Like that's a really long time, and they've been faithfully leaving cards and they love doing it.
So the power of the ambassador program, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but do you think it's had an immense amount of success because of social media? And then kind of to branch off of that question, do you think that Love Everywhere has had its success because of social media, because of the love and the light and good content that you're putting out there?
I think that is absolutely the case. It's, I mean, we wouldn't exist without the Instagram community that we've somehow like miraculously built. Like people find us through hashtags or whatever and get excited and email and ask how they can get involved and join us in leaving kind notes. And I think that the ambassador program has absolutely grown what we're doing socially on social media, because I think just the more people that you have sharing what you're doing, the more eyes you get on it and the more people that you get, I guess, following you or wanting to be a part of what you're doing.
And has your blog had any help in that as well? Has your blog helped the growth, or do you find that the majority of your growth come from social?
I would say that it's probably like 90% social media, and out of that social media, it's probably 100% from Instagram. I'm not much of a blogger. Like, I wish I was, but there's not a lot of time for that on my end. And we try to do features on our ambassadors and like other little things here and there, but our blog is not where the party is. The party is at Instagram. So
that is so interesting that your business can be solely built around a social platform versus your website, you know? And I think that's, there's a lot of controversy I've noticed in the marketing world and in the blogging world and the social world, that sometimes there's this conflict between, do I need to have a blog? Do I need to be on social? Can I pick one or the other? And should I be building my business on social versus building my business on my website?
Yeah, I think it might just depend on what kind of person you are. Like, some people really love to write and they're really great at it, and they can make words look like paintings on their screen. Like, there's a visual thing that happens when you're reading their words, and that's a beautiful thing. I'm not necessarily that kind of person. I just am like short and sweet and to the point, and want everyone to know that they matter and they're loved and valued. And so I think that's where Instagram is my jam.
Instagram is my jam. It's mine too. It's probably my, hands down, my favorite platform. Snapchat had my attention for a while, and it kind of faded, honestly, whenever Instagram stories came out.
Yeah.
It became a little bit too difficult to keep up with both. Yep. And then now I find myself not doing either. Like, I'm not really on either social media, or sorry, Snapchat or Instagram stories. So it's interesting how our behavior will change as the social platforms change too.
That's, you know,
and there's something to be said about, you know, one day whenever Instagram's not there, like, what would you do?
That's a great question, and I've thought about it before. Like, obviously, MySpace didn't last forever, and we all thought that it would. So,
oh my gosh,
MySpace can't survive, then, and Facebook is on its way out probably. It's an ever-evolving carousel or something. Like, it's just constantly moving and constantly changing. And as a business owner, you kind of have to just be ready to go with the flow and do what is needed to be done to continue to grow. And if that means Instagram is dead and there's something else, then that's where we'll go, I guess. But I think more than anything, I think social is important, but like, even if none of that existed, I would still be wanting to do what I'm doing, and I would still be leaving cards if no one knew about it, because that's just, it's in me. So I have to do it to get it out, to feel healthy, you know? Like, you can't hold stuff in like that, because then you
and
don't feel healthy.
What is that you're holding in? Is it the love? Is it the inspiration? Is it the creativity?
Yeah, I think it's just like a creative outlet. Like, it's, it feels good to write something down, get it out of your head. Even if it's not, like, I do this even when I'm journaling. Like, if I'm not having a great day, just to write it down and like get it out of my head, then I can move on with the rest of my day or reset my day or whatever. So like, if I feel inside of me that I have something nice to say and it's ready to go out for someone, then I need to get it out so that I can move on. Otherwise, I kind of get like hung up the rest of the day. It's probably kind of a strange thing to say, but
not at all. Not at all. I feel the same way sometimes about writing as well, about things that are reoccurring in my mind of, you need to write this, Alexis, you need to write this. Mm-hmm. And so just sitting down and taking the time, you never know the lives that can change by posting it, or it can even change your own life just by getting it out of your head and allowing you to have positive, healthy thoughts throughout the day versus holding in negativity or anything like that. I'd love to know three things that inspire you. Because as I have watched Love Everywhere grow, and I know that you're in Nashville and I'm in Nashville, and you were one of the first accounts I followed when I moved here.
That's
just seeing the growth of Love Everywhere and getting to know you and reading your posts, you are so inspirational. So I think for someone to be inspirational, they first must be inspired by something greatly. And yeah. So what are three things that inspire you?
It just depends on the day, really. But I think like if you go through hard times, like you have to either choose to believe in something bigger and better and more powerful than you so that you can like get through it. And that's kind of where I started to feel inspired for what I'm doing.
No, that makes complete sense, Ashley. Seriously, I feel the same way. I feel inspired knowing that there is something bigger than me and that God does have a plan. Mm-hmm. And even though we might not know it right now, I love waking up every day and knowing that I'm one step closer to the person he created me to be. And I know sometimes, I'm just speaking for myself, I can get very, I love control. So, you know, so sometimes I feel out of control in that. Like, I want to know what's going to happen. I want to know this plan that you have for me. I want to know my future, all those things. But I find great inspiration in just knowing that he has it taken care of.
Right.
You know, and that's something that we can rest and find peace in, that he does have it taken care of. And I don't have to worry, and you don't have to have sleepless nights wondering. And I've seen that in your business. Like, he's really making things happen for you. And that I think that just comes out of faithfulness and boldness.
I mean, that's amazing to like hear you saying that. I think that, to be honest, I would not have been able to have a conversation like this at all a year ago. Like, I almost like walked away from all of what I was doing with Love Everywhere. Things were like really bad, and I was having like serious depression, and there was like a time that I couldn't even get out of bed. And like, I have two kids, and so it got like really, really hard, and it was a really dark time. But people like my ambassadors were writing these great messages, so I was able to continue putting out good stuff even when I wasn't feeling great. But like, a lot of those cards that they wrote, or like even things that I would write, like, it was not even for other people as much as it was just like me for myself. Like, I needed to hear that I was valued and loved, and I needed to hear that my ideas were good ideas, or whatever it was. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I think you get in a place where like you really start to question a lot. And if you don't start talking positive to yourself, then like you can fall into a really dark hole. And I think that above anything, like, that inspired me to keep going, because I felt like there was a community of people who were excited enough about what we were doing to double tap a picture, that like, it made a difference in my life to say like, oh, that maybe this is something, maybe I shouldn't walk away from it completely right now. And then a year later, here we are with crazy amounts of like support and encouragement, and over 3,000 more cards have been put out in that time. And it's just, I don't know, like, such an encouragement to me to have a small hand in what's happening, because above it all, I just want people to feel loved.
And I think that is, well, first off, thank you so much for sharing that with me and being vulnerable with some of the pain you've experienced in life. But I also want to, in this moment, just tell you that sometimes you love deeper when you've experienced great pain. And I feel like you've been able to hold this capacity to love and put out love for so many. And I think the reason that you can relate to those people and you can continue to do that is because you have experienced pain and you have felt it, and you're able to relate to other people more. And I think that's something in our culture that we don't celebrate. We try to mask, or we try to hide, because we're embarrassed, or because we feel shame, or because of pride, or whatever it might be. We aren't really honest with ourselves, where we are, and then also with other people. And I see that a lot on social media. Mm-hmm. And I just love that that's not your business. Your business is about shedding light on love and positivity. And that's beautiful. Something I would love to know, what has been the most surreal moment of your creative career so far? A moment where you stepped back and you said, wow, I cannot believe that I'm here right now. This is so cool.
There's been a couple of those moments. Anytime that something gets delivered to my house that I designed, like, and seeing it in person, that's kind of one of those moments for me, because it's like really surreal to think that, like, this was in my head, then it was on my computer, and now it's in my hands. It's just a super surreal feeling. Like, I think I cry every time something new comes in. I'm like, oh, it's here. It's physically here. Like, this is amazing. Yeah. And just collaborating with people too has been really inspiring. I kind of like get awestruck at working with other people. It's really fun to get some creative ideas going and bounce off of each other and come up with something fantastic that we can put our like creative forces together and do something awesome with.
What kind of creatives do you find yourself collaborating with the most? Like, do you find yourself collaborating with bloggers, photographers, or all different kinds? Or
I think right now, like, I've just really been drawn to other makers, other artists. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I guess photographers would fit into that. I have a lot of really creative friends, so it's just, it doesn't even feel like I'm looking for something. It just kind of like shows up and it's like, oh, we could do this together. And that's been really cool. Like, I have a friend who he owns this shop called Brock Road, and we did a keychain together, and I wanted it to say, yes, you can. And he like made this phenomenal keychain, and we were like, oh, we'll just make a couple and it'll be fine. And they sold out in like 2 hours, and we were texting back and forth like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like, I can't believe people like these. Like, yeah.
You never know what's going to spark, you know, support at all. Like, you're like, oh, I didn't even know that this was going to be a thing. And then it's a thing.
Yeah. Well, I was just like, I just selfishly wanted a keychain that said, yes, you can. I'm like, can you make me one of these? He's like, let's collaborate on it. And I'm like, okay, we'll do 20 or whatever. And yeah.
So has it been difficult for you to find a community of like-minded people who are ambitious or who share your love for creativity and putting out positivity?
I would say not really. Like, I think that it's kind of one of those things, like, if you put out honey, you're going to attract like flies or something, like, but not that they're flies, but.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So I think that just talking about like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Like, and people being, oh yeah, I think that's cool. I'd like to do that with you sometime or something. Like, it just kind of organically happens. Mainly it's just talking about what you're interested in and being honest and not being afraid to share your heart, because that's the moment when you can be real and other people can see like, oh, I really like what you're saying, or I really like what you're doing, and I would like to be a part of it. I think if you bring that authenticity and that sincerity, people just naturally want to like gravitate toward you because it's a good idea or it's a good thing that you're doing. So I don't like seek out necessarily. I just talk to my friends and things come about after that.
I think it's difficult at times for creatives, more so in my opinion, when you're younger. So like whenever you're in high school and college, if you mm-hmm. are going after something where a lot of other people are just focused on school or other things, it can be difficult.
I could totally see that.
Yeah. But I think I've noticed, I'm only a year out of college, so I'm 23, and I've noticed in the past year, it's been so much easier to find creative, like-minded women who lift me up and who inspire me now. And I'm also living in Nashville, which is a pretty mm-hmm. awesome place.
Yes. So, there's not a lack of creativity in this city.
Yeah, that is for sure. So this podcast is called The Laptop Lifestyle. So I would love to play a little game with you called The Laptop Lightning Round.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, perfect. So my first question is, if your laptop had a name, what would it be?
Oh, man, probably Roberta.
Roberta?
Yeah.
That's so great.
She's like old and kind of clunky.
And classy, though. She's classy.
She smokes cigarettes and has like a raspy voice, you know.
Oh, does she? Roberta the smoker. I love it. That's hilarious. Okay, question number two. What is the screensaver on your laptop?
You know what? I don't even know because I just put it in sleep mode automatically when I'm not looking at it. Like, I just automatically go to sleep mode and then shut it. I don't know. That's a great question.
Really?
I seriously have no idea. I don't ever leave it up long and like open. I just shut it right away.
Well, that's a good way to go, I think.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm done, you know, like I put it away. Yeah. I got kids. They can't be touching it, you know?
Exactly. So what are three apps, applications, or programs on your computer that you could not live without?
On my computer, I would say Illustrator, anything actually Adobe CS, like Photoshop, Illustrator, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I do that stuff all the time. Like even if I'm not doing anything, it's still open in the background. Then there's like the mail app. I guess it's an app program because I like to like, this is really neurotic, but I don't like to have any unread notifications. So I can't let it sit. Like I have to get to it as soon as I see it. Yeah. So
you're a very prompt emailer. I like it.
Yeah. It's like an appendage. It's an extra appendage.
Yeah. Which can be dangerous at times whenever you're always on your email.
That's true, but I do time it so I just don't see it. And then when I see it, I take care of them all at once.
Okay.
My husband's opposite. He has like 2,000 unread emails. And every time I look at his phone or his computer, I get so stressed out. I'm like, how can you breathe right now? Like, it's too much. I can't breathe.
I might be like your husband.
Oh, no.
I might be the person that has like 426 unread messages as a notification on my phone.
If they're like mostly junk, that's fine. But like if I know it's somebody that has asked a question.
Oh, no.
Like,
yeah. They're all emails from if they were important, I would answer them for sure.
Like J. Crew sales and stuff. But I can't even handle that. Like I have to delete that. Like I don't like it. I can't see it.
Yeah, it's for right now. It's just about going back and actually deleting it. So,
yeah,
inbox management. Gotta get better at that.
Third favorite app would probably be Spotify.
Oh yeah.
I love to like listen to all kinds of music while I'm working. So
the Spotify afternoon acoustic playlist is my jam.
That's a good one.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so how many hours a day do you spend on your laptop, would you think?
It just depends. Like my daughter is in school now. She's in a pre-K that's like all day long. So I've been getting way more work done during the day. But I think between probably on average 2 to 3 hours.
That's not bad at all.
No, not for a mom. I can do it. I can make it work.
For a creative entrepreneur, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
What does the laptop lifestyle mean to you?
Oh, I think that that's a tricky question. But I think that for me, the laptop lifestyle happens in between the real moments of life. Like being a mom means that each day is going to be pretty chaotic and I've got to be flexible. So my work schedule has to be flexible. And if I'm cooking, I can have my laptop open and do an email while I'm waiting on water to boil, or my kids are cleaning up the mess from the fort that we just built. So I will send out an email or tweak a design or something like that as I'm going throughout the day. So it's kind of like a touch and go lifestyle for me. Laptop lifestyle, touch and go.
Yeah, you could not have said that any better. I love it. The flexibility, the freedom. So before we wrap up, I have two more questions I want to ask you. But before we do that, I would love to know, where can people find you online?
Yeah, so online, I'm at shareloveeverywhere.com is our website and general store. And on Instagram is at ShareLoveEverywhere.
Perfect. And I'll have all of those things linked up in the show notes as well. I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show. I loved the candid conversation and the realness and the laughs. I just think your mission is incredible. I just thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
It's been really fun.
Yeah, yeah. So before we go, two more questions. So the biggest advice that you would give to someone just starting in the online space, the online creative space?
Oh, just start putting your stuff out there. Like, don't be afraid. Just do it. Just start and it'll start falling together. I still have no clue what I'm doing and somehow it's working. So I think as long as you're like, just do something and you'll start to see progress.
Okay. I agree with that 100%. And then my last question, what are you most grateful for?
Most grateful for my kids, of course. They're really so much fun, and my husband too. Like, I'm just so thankful for my family. They support what I'm doing and they're off doing their own thing too. So it's just like we support each other and we come back to the dinner table and share what we're doing and what we're excited about. And even my 2-year-old little boy, he throws in his firework comments. He's obsessed with fireworks. So we all have our passions.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your honesty and your time, and I cannot wait for people to listen to this episode.
Oh, thank you so much, Alexis. This has been so much fun.